My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back, all the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the bloodstain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair? I know it is hard to look at your own entitlement and privilege. You may be afraid of the truth. I am unafraid to be honest. It may sound petty, bringing up a few extra cents. It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see in my country. I can't see. My eyes are too busy praying to my feet, hoping you don't mistake eye contact for wanting physical contact. Half my life, I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty, like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle, Hillary. And our pussies ain't for grabbing. Therefore, reminding you that our walls are stronger than America's ever will be. Our pussies are for our pleasure. They are for birthing new generations of filthy, vulgar, nasty, proud Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, you name it, for new generations of nasty women. So if you, a nasty woman, or you love one who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I love you. Thank you.
Lights are on and stable, Captain. Whoa, let's see some fucking action!
You bitch. I have never wanted to grab your pussy more.
It was fun to get drunk and have some guy's wiener in your face.
Thank you for eating my end.
When it rains, go outside nude and let it rain on my flower.
I don't even know who the fuck you are anymore.
Live from gorgeous downtown Orlando, welcome to Full of Grace, a show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous. Tonight, Divine Grace's roundtable consecrated crew is Carol Lee.
You know what? I bet Madonna lets her eat her pussy, but Madonna doesn't do it that.
Christine Robinson.
Quaaludes were involved in, right. Yes.
Jay Skinner.
The basket of deplorables, they're going down.
And Michael O'Quinn.
Yeah, but who doesn't like a big fat one?
And now, from the bowels of Orlando, Florida, your mistress of ceremonies, the one, the only, the Divine Grace.
Welcome to Full of Grace, a show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous. I'm your hostess, the ever-loving Divine Grace. With me, as always, is my consecrated crew. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We have my producer, Michael O'Quinn.
Hey. Yay, my
Cha-Cha is back with visiting the table again. We also have Christine Robinson and Jay Skinner. Tonight,
thank you,
we
thank
are
you.
Missing the wonderful Carol Lee.
Not so wonderful.
Is she coming in
she's
later?
Or? Up and away.
I don't believe that
no,
she.
No,
I don't believe
we're
will.
Having a tornado here in Orlando right now, so.
I'm not even sure if what's
her plane
going on
can
flight.
Land.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So if there is, there may be some technical difficulties this evening if the house is lifted off of its foundation and thrown into a gutter. Big week.
Week.
Friday. 45th President of the United States of America. I can't say it.
No.
Donald Trump. Donald Trump is President of the United States. It's official.
It is official.
And what a ride it's been. Now, it's my understanding he wasn't even going to roll up his sleeves and get to work till Monday. Because much like a college student, you just go in the first day and pick up your syllabus. and go home until Monday. You know, nobody's saying. We had parties to attend. He had three balls. I already had three balls.
Three.
Did you know that Barack Obama had 17 balls?
Mm-hmm.
What a sack. What a wow. We also have with us a Foggett this evening.
We have a Foggett.
Robert.
Yay.
Lead Foggett. She's President Foggett.
She's actually, isn't she? She's been a guest on the show as well. I don't know where the fuck to start with this week, but I should go ahead and ask. Does anybody have anything special to talk about that's happened in the last week?
I do.
Yes.
I do. Hi, Full of Grace listeners. It's Jay. I'm back. My voice is almost all the way back.
Yeah, you were completely voiceless last week.
You sound less like Kim Carnes.
I do. I actually got it mostly back. Mostly back. I have news. I got a job yesterday. The plague of locusts are no longer swarming around my house.
Wait. Like, is there a W-2 form, or are you just fulfilling a community service obligation?
It's a real job. I got a real job at a local restaurant for a public golf course very close to home here.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. You're familiar with it, Michael. You know the place I got my job at.
Car?
Right up the street?
Yes, on Car. Yes, yeah.
I love that place.
You know what? When we talk about our jobs, I always feel like everyone's trying not to... to say, you know, we don't want to disclose anything that might get us in trouble at work, but it always feels like when you guys talk, it's always like asking a Wheel of Fortune contestant, "Hi, tell us a little bit about yourself." Like, yes, I work for a very high-end travel agency. Yeah, I have a lovely husband, four wonderful dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I start tomorrow.
That's great because, frankly, I am sick of having to foot the bill.
I know. Well, I've cashed in all my paychecks from here. I've also taken all the advances. I cashed in my 401k that you had set up for me. And essentially all that was left for me to make money was to suck your dick.
I am so sorry that we haven't set up direct deposits yet.
Oh, well, we did do that, but not the way that...
I promise as soon as we get up with HR...
Thank you for not trying to hook me up with the sucking the dick part.
Well,
because
you know,
everybody else here at this table would do that, and I'm so sorry I can't.
No.
Well, I mean...
I did it begrudgingly.
Oh, you did do it. Oh.
Well, why do you think I still have a roof over my head? I've been working 4 months.
That's true.
I don't really think there's much left to say tonight.
But... Good night, everyone.
So what did you do today?
I went to see... the fabulous Leslie Jordan.
Leslie Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, over in Claremont.
Beverly Leslie, right?
Beverly Leslie.
Well. Karen
and
Walker.
Brother Boy. And
I live and breathe.
God, he was in The Help. He was in American Horror Story. Very good show. I've seen one of his other shows. This is a completely different show. But he's so funny. I took my mom. It was her birthday last week. So
Was it just a one-man show?
Yeah, he just sits there. All he does is stand there and tell stories. And it's just hilarious. I mean, he's so... if anyone's ever seen him in real life, he's literally 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
I mean, when he comes out on stage, he looks like a young little boy. That's how short he is. And tonight he came out dressed as Tupac. And did a whole little thing in the beginning. But he's so funny. And by the way, just a coincidence that I saw Brother Boy from Sordid Lives on our next show tonight at 9 o'clock. We have Ann Walker, who was Aunt Lavonda on Sordid Lives. She'll be calling up. She was at the LA women's
step match.
But anyways, yeah, that was about it. And then I got my diverticulitis has come back. I swear I sound like the only one here that's like, what is it, someone who's always sick?
Hypochondriac,
yeah. So I was in pain all night and all day today, but...
I'm sorry,
I'm here.
I am not ignoring you, I'm just...
Divine Grace started cleaning the house again.
No, I'm dog urine.
Oh, no!
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's not my dog.
No.
Or my
lady.
Urine.
Oh, lady peed on the floor. Bad.
So let's have a little story about Leslie Jordan.
Okay.
Michael and I have met him.
Yes.
Actually, it's on the same cruise that I met Michael on. And there was a lot of bears on this cruise. It wasn't a gay cruise. We just happened to coincide. Our trip just happened to coincide with a group of burly gay travel agents, about 600 of them. So the pool was bear soup. I'm sure. I imagine it looked like Greek yogurt with a hair in it. Mm. But I finally took to a jacuzzi, which is to me is always so awkward with strangers, because then you feel like you're in the tub with somebody, you know. So I'm sitting there trying to make small talk with these gay guys, and I hear, "Is there room for one more?" And I look up, and it's Leslie Jordan. With a towel wrapped around his boobs. Like, so demure. And, go ahead and step in. And I literally couldn't say a word to him because I'm like, this is too fucking weird. So I shared a...
Is this post Will and Grace?
This was during.
Okay.
I think. Will and Grace has been off. No, it was post because Will and Grace has been off for like 12 years now.
Been off for 12
years?
It's
been off. I just saw it like 10 years or something. Surprisingly long. Anyway. Super nice guy, funny. I've seen his one man show before, the Pink Carpet show was great. But it definitely, I don't know about the show you saw this time, but he definitely has a pattern. So he'll set up a story, tell a funny story, and then it usually just ends tragically, and everyone goes, "Oh!" But then another funny story, and then he dies.
It wasn't like that this time. And he was like that during the show I saw before. This one, he was funny. I mean, he only touched on a couple things that were a little bit, like, touching. But this was a benefit for a certain person in the Pulse tragedy. That's what this whole thing was. Oh. And so he brought that up for just a moment, and then it was over with. And so he kept it pretty funny through the whole thing.
Remind me, and we'll come back to the Pulse, the news about Pulse.
Okay.
Do you guys have anything to add? Did you have anything interesting happen this week?
I got to be a redneck for a day again.
Oh, yeah, I get to do that about 6 days.
You did the monster truck thing, right?
Yeah, oh. I went to a Monster Jam yesterday, but I'd never been, one, as an adult, two, and tailgated. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Tailgating and rednecks go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So I got to do tailgating for the first time ever and at Monster Jam, but I had a really good time. I went with some really good friends that I hadn't seen in a while. Actually, people that I used to work with at Cowgirls. And
now, what does tailgating entail?
Everybody shows up to a giant lot or lawn, so to speak, and you line up, and everybody just opens their trunks, puts down the tailgate, and you barbecue, you drink, you play games like cornhole is a big
one. Ooh, yeah.
I'm loving it.
That's a different kind of cornhole, Michael.
And then you
hang a black person, right?
No, there's a fire at the end. No, right.
Yeah.
No, everybody just parties, and then it's time for Monster Jam, the monster truck show itself. And apparently there's like a truck pulling night the night before. I didn't know about that.
Tractor pull.
It's not even a tractor pull. It's a truck pull.
It's a guy pulling a truck with his teeth. Awesome. So where was this? Was this at Emily?
This was not. This was at...
we're going to die.
Bye, everyone.
Tornado warning, everyone.
Whatever the Citrus Bowl.
The camping world stadium.
Yes, that's what it's called. I can't remember. Something odd.
Oh, of course. No, that was...
You know where it is. Yeah. And so when I got out of the van last night to go into Stonewall, I...
Did you get that crowd?
No, of course not. But it was funny because I got out of the van and I heard the roar from the trucks.
Yep.
And you know how far, I mean, and it wasn't like a little faint roar. It was like, rah! It was like, wow, there.
Yeah.
Oh, so many tiny penises. So the monster truck shows were really big when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Frog's Pit, North Carolina.
Every time you say that, Divine, I think you're making it up.
I am making it up. That is, I grew up in rural Appalachia, North Carolina, so people really into fucking professional wrestling and tractor pulls.
Mm-hmm.
Bigfoot, do you remember the big crazy
Bigfoot
truck?
Mm-hmm.
It was a big fucking deal, and I a roller derby, like I get that sort of sport, or not a roller, demolition derby, I mean.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
I get I get that. That's basically why people go to NASCAR. It's just
to watch the wrecks.
To wait for the carnage.
Yeah. That's why I went for years.
But watching large vehicles, it's to me, and even NASCAR, like my older brother loves it. And I think, why are you watching traffic?
Yeah.
I'm watching for the wrecks.
I can't do NASCAR. But with, it's very much the same though. If, I don't know if you've ever been to a monster truck show, but they crash, they wreck their vehicles, and they keep, for example, there's at least two trucks yesterday that one of the tires blew. So imagine you have this giant truck, one tire blows, it's on its rim, and they keep going until their trucks literally blow up.
Disintegrate, yeah.
And why? It is so barbaric almost and invigorating. I found myself applauding and clapping, and I don't know what it is, but there's something fun to watch them blow.
Shut up.
That's the lesbian in you.
It's a primal destroy.
It is.
But mostly because it's a primal instinct without hurting anyone.
Even
like
more,
you'd be like, rawr, but they nobody dies.
Yeah,
they could, but no, they don't. But it's a way to be able to cheer something like that on without.
Well, Divine made the point perfectly when Cha-Cha's, when you're saying that they like literally just destroy the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So what essentially happens, if I understand correctly, is that there's enough in ticket sales that all of these different truck teams, they all divvy up the money with the promoters, and one of those vehicles can cost $250,000 to make.
I believe it.
And
absolutely.
So what I think happens is that they decide at the beginning of the night, whoever's truck is the one that starts to fall apart first, it's quicker and cheaper to build a new one than it is to untwist metal,
right,
and take out bolts and screws and replace stuff. So they just figure, I've seen it happen before, exactly like you say, they'll do these crazy donuts at like 30 miles an hour, or the truck is just almost spinning like a top, and then the tires will blow out and the vehicles will keep going until they flip and twist and the axles are all broken in half. And as Christine pointed out, it is the primal instinct in us to want to see that kind of destruction. I have not been to a monster truck show or a tractor pull since the late 70s or very early
80s. Okay, I can imagine how much of a growth it would have been.
Yeah,
right,
but yes, because of social media, now they're able to show these videos online. And really
that's fascinating. I am going to move on, though, because we've got first-time listeners who are like, what the fuck is a dragon doing talking about a monster truck?
And
is tonight Super Bowl?
No.
No.
Why did I think
it's,
that was?
It's the divisional playoffs. It's the last game.
Oh, of course. I always get that confused. I don't watch hockey. I don't.
You're such
an asshole. So, should we move on to Gailey Dithpiach?
Well, we sure should.
Put down the tiara and pick up a mop, because we're about to spill the tea in today's
Gailey Dithpiach, auntie.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, kiss your ass. Das Vidanya. Welcome to New Moscow. It's what I'm going to start calling Orlando New Moscow. Mm. We have a new leader, Vladimir Putin. Or his lapdog. We have Donald Trump as president. Where the fuck do I start? Well, let's start with the inauguration. I have, actually, I at the end of the show tonight, I will read the open letter that I wrote to Donald Trump. But something I mentioned is, first of all, did anybody watch it when it happened?
No.
Michael and Kathy and I ended up being out of the office at lunch. And, of course, they're playing it in the restaurant. So, and I'm like, I can't. So I finally, we've missed basically the swearing in. So by the time we sit down and look, the helicopters are taking away former President Obama, and then they're rushing Trump to the White House, to the Oval Office, because he's going to immediately sign some executive orders, which I thought was really sweet of him, because it was my understanding he wasn't going to be really bothered with all that till Monday. So he immediately sat down and started repealing the Affordable Care Act, because that's really the hot button issue in America. What was the other?
The FHA loan.
Oh, yeah. Then he fucked everybody who's a homeowner with a mortgage.
With an FHA loan, he raised everybody's taxes $600-$700 a year on
that. Ta-da! Mortgage. Congratulations, middle America. You got the change you wanted, didn't you? The inauguration. So there were like, how many people? Six?
I think seven.
Six.
12. Let's not slight them.
Fake news.
Actually, let me pull up. I did.
It was alternate 100,000 people.
Alternate.
Oh yeah,
that's
alternate.
Alternate fact.
Alternate fact.
I'm reading. Yes, roughly 160,000. But that depends on really who you ask, because Donald Trump said 1.5 million.
No, he said more than Obama, and Obama had 1.7 or 9 million his first year, so that's like 2 million.
Trump, the White House, Trump dispatched Sean Spicer, his press secretary, to the briefing room in the West Wing, where he immediately, first time out of the gate, as press secretary, completely pitches a hissy fit and lies.
And lies. First.
Straight out of the gate. Thing. Just so everyone's aware of what we've got to look forward to. That was day one.
Sentence one.
Yeah.
Straight out of the gate. All right. Well, let me just read this. He said the news organizations had deliberately misstated the size of the crowd at Mr. Trump's inauguration on Friday in an attempt to sow divisions at a time when Trump was trying to unify the country, warning that the new administration would hold them to account. Quote, "This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period." God, he was pissed.
Period.
Period. Did you see him?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, is there anybody on the cabinet who is not sniveling, who doesn't look like they were sent from central casting to play the villain?
Mm-hmm. His eyes are so weird looking.
Oh my God. It was like, oh, no. I mean, he's already pissed off CNN.
He's a really bad actor. I mean, he really is. I know he's not supposed to be in any way, shape, or form, but he should be able to be eloquent enough to be able to get on and make people believe lies. And then I thought to myself, Trump always just says lies, and then 4 days later he says, "I didn't say that." And then people have to go back and research and go, no, you did lie.
Know,
he still says, no, I didn't. No. This gentleman does the exact same thing, but he's like a worse actor than Trump.
Right.
Trump is actually fairly decent at being able to keep a straight face and say shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he immediately mocked a disabled reporter. And, of course, like everything else with Trump, nothing sticks. Like, people remember it and then they go, oh, well, okay, that's over. Next. What debacle is he sending down the pipe this time? This time that came back to haunt him.
Mm-hmm.
And people were holding him accountable for it later. And he, I mean, no, that didn't happen. So they showed the video. Here it is. Nope, that's not what I'm doing. Now, we've had this conversation around the table several times that Trump's America is just, facts don't care anymore. They don't matter.
Facts do not matter.
You said something interesting earlier about this, though, about his constituency. And he's right. Like, we all see this blatant bullshit. Like, it's all complete fabrication.
Well, we have memories longer than a goldfish.
But his constituency, no, they're not all completely stupid. I mean, they've got a horrible judge of character and apparently very low expectations from a world leader. But they know that a lot of these people still know the difference between yes, he did and no, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be the idiots who give him blind allegiance, who say, I don't care. No, he's brilliant. That's fine. But it's going to be very interesting for the next 4 years. Well, let's be honest. Like, for the next while, because he won't carry out 4 years. Before Pence becomes president.
Which we are now embracing, actually, aren't we?
Yeah.
We'd rather have
Pence.
Well,
at least we know what we're getting there.
Well, it's, yeah, with our employer had said that, you know, the biggest reason he voted for Hillary Clinton was because he said kind of wanting to vote for Trump, but if something happens to Trump, because he's old, then we've got Pence, and he's my boss's gay. And so we thought, he said, so I didn't feel comfortable with that. Well, he mentioned that last week as well, and I thought I told him that. I said, no, don't ask me to choose the lesser of two evils in this twice in the same election. We've already done that. The thing about Pence that terrifies us, many of us at the table, is his stance on LGBT rights is completely, he would reverse everything. He believes in electroshock conversion. So he might even execute me for being gay for all I know. He's definitely wanting to shock my balls. But let's say he'll execute me for sucking dick. Oh no, this is the clean show, isn't it?
Well.
For sucking penis. Phallus. But he's not going to send my ass to a third world war over a fucking tweet. Like, whatever Pence is, a slimy politician, he's still a politician.
Right.
Our president is not a politician. Mm. This is uncharted territory. Who knows? And you can tell that the whole administration is just playing it by ear. It's been that way since the election.
Just like, winging it.
Well, we'll see what happens. We're watching, so, all right, so it gets more delicious today. I, as you know, spend Sundays watching Meet the Press. And Chuck Todd was interviewing Kellyanne Conway, Crackhead Conway.
Paddington Bear.
We'll get to what she was wearing later. But what was the exact phrase?
Alternate facts.
Alternate facts. No, he kept saying, he said
falsehoods.
Straight out of the gate, you're giving us falsehoods. And she said, no. Waited a second, like, how do I...
There was a pause, like she had to...
A pregnant
She mom. Literally just came up with that phrase, just so
They're
you know.
Alternate facts, and he said alternate facts are falsehoods, and I really thought if she'd been in the same room, he would have punched her in the cunt. Like, he was pissed.
Yeah,
he
I
wait, can I just say...
Must you? Must you say?
Must you say?
All right.
Must I? I have to. May I just say? She looked horrible.
When
has
she not?
No. She's been able to have people put makeup on, and a lot of us can look and say, those bags are horrible. She's got really bad bags. She looks like shit. She looks... No. She looked like someone had been slapping her around and fucking her up the ass with no lube for a couple... Oh, darn it. Anyway, the thing is that she looked horrible. She looked like she had not slept for a long time.
The slander starts here.
And that's the thing, though. But she had not.
She looks like a meth addict. Like she.
So let me ask you.
The word is haggard.
I think anyone who has her job would look just as horrible as she looks, because she's still a human being, and whether she's doing this for money.
Well,
for
we know
fame,
she is, because we've seen the video where she was slamming Trump when she was
cruising. I want to talk about that. I got to pull that up.
Let me please interrupt you, because the thought that did go through my head this morning, she's being interviewed on Meet the Press, knowing she spent all last night doing these balls that for 18 months before the election. She has been on every fucking show. She's hit the ground. Like, she earns her check, let's be honest. Because it takes a special kind of magic to spin that bullshit into golden hair. So she's overworked. There's no getting around it. But she's also a little retarded. And what pisses me off the most about Kellyanne Conway is that here is a legitimate fool, like she's an idiot, treating us all like we're a bunch of idiots. I'm like, oh, Kelly, man. Just
alternate facts was uttered on Meet the Press.
Oh, God. That's what it's come to. So, with the, and he's very, well, let's go back. So that was the big argument was, first of all, and Chuck Todd made a great point about this, straight out of the gate, the press secretary, that's really what you want to talk about with your first meeting with the press is attendance and who said what about attendance. You're immediately fighting. Trump said, he said, the news organizations had deliberately misstated the size of the crowd at the inauguration in an attempt to show division at a time when Mr. Trump was trying to unify, because he's the great unifier. He also, Trump, called journalists, quote, among the most dishonest human beings on earth, and said that up to 1.5 million people had attended his inauguration, a claim that photographs disproved. Crowd scientists at Manchester Metropolitan University in Britain analyzed photographs and video taken of the National Mall and vicinity, and estimated there were about 160,000 people in those hours leading up to Trump's speech on Friday. So literally, 10 times less.
A tenth, yeah.
A tenth of the crowd that he's... and but, who knows unless you're there. Well, you see the photographs. So they've been critical. The photographs have shed a light on something. He goes, nope, it's all fake. Well, now he's CNN's fake news. Way they've been told they're fake news. I loved that they didn't even cover the conference today, the press conference. CNN was like, nah.
CNN came out and said,
no, all right, said we're not going to do it. No.
Yeah, why? I mean, because he loves the attention. He can't stand that somebody would go, no, don't worry about it. Oh, and it really burnt my ass that they had to preempt Meet the Press. They had to stop and go to that. And I thought, oh.
Let me ask a question. With Twitter, does he know who looks at his Twitters or only who follows?
Oh, I don't know.
I would like to know that. I'd like to know because periodically I've gone on to my Twitter account, which I don't Twitter ever. I don't think I've ever Twittered.
Yeah, because it's called tweeting. We can tell that you definitely don't Twitter.
Exactly.
Same way.
No, let me tell you, in the UK, everyone tweets. That's the whole thing in the UK. They do tweeting more than they do Facebook.
Right.
Because when I was out there, people were like, what's your Twitter account? And I'm like, what? Whatever. But I wanted to know if he knew, because every once in a while I would look and see what he'd been putting out. And then I was like, oh, shit.
Now he's got the
president
Twitter that he inherited from Barack Obama. Yeah. He's got a presidential
POTUS more than Twitter. Likely, though, your question was, does he see them?
Does he know
I doubt that. What you have is someone who is monitoring that, definitely. And they may, whoever his people are that are, you know, doing the job of... because I know you can tell when he does tweet and when he doesn't. Because
but I'm
a
saying,
tweet
though,
came
does
out
he
like
know
today.
When I look, when I
does
go...
Does he know how many eyeballs he's getting on his tweet?
Watching
the metric that it goes by is usually retweets. If something is seen enough...
If they take it from him and put it out.
Yes, if they... It's share. They share his on there.
Okay, yeah.
That's the measure.
Yeah, you can tell...
The number of followers and the number of retweets.
I have a feeling that there's some poor asshole that... is in his office that every day Trump is saying, hey, get on Twitter and tell them blah, blah, blah. And then this person is trying to consolidate that into 140 characters. I don't believe he's actually sitting
there. Oh, no, I think he is.
Not all day. Because he's made that comment. When he is on, you'll know because everything's fucking misspelled.
Yeah.
Like how he keeps talking and everyone keeps saying, well, he's a great businessman. Which is also a fallacy.
Questionable.
That's also an alternate fact. oh my God, it's like Bizarre World. But he's you can tell he misspelled businesses. Mm-hmm. He misspelled fucking businesses.
Unprecedented.
He used the word unprecedented.
He misspelled unprecedented. Twice.
Honored, yeah.
Oh,
honored.
This is unprecedented. I'm like, well, that's a word that you have invented that is actually genuinely great.
But that was bigly of him.
Bigly. Bigly.
Jeff Jones just said he tweets on the shitter, so he poops a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a golden toilet. Yeah. I would live on it.
Oh, yeah.
I would probably also get whatever that... You know, my ass, I'd get up and it'd be green. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh. I can't shit on this golden toilet. A throne. Have you ever seen the inside of his place?
Yeah, I've seen pictures.
It's opulent, too.
It's Joan Rivers used to say her house sort of looked like that, her apartment. She used to say, this is what... Versailles would look like if Louis XIV had any money. And when you see Trump, everything's gold, everything's gilded. First of all, that is so dated now, right? Like, cash for gold? Like, that's what's become of our... We used to love gold in the 80s. It used to represent status and wealth. Now it's just fucking tacky. Mm-hmm. And he's completely... there's a picture of Melania Trump. I want to say maybe with a baby buggy at some point, and everything's gold.
And I thought, she's pushing a buggy, and her leg is lifted. It's a model pose. Yeah.
And I thought to myself, would you not go fucking nuts being surrounded by that all day? I don't care what your favorite color is.
No, that's...
Didn't Tammy Faye and Jim also have gold-plated things, and somebody asked them, they said... You've spent all this money that has come into your church, and they said, we know how to spend God's money. Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing. Gold-plated everything in the bathroom. Yeah.
Gold leaf this and...
Enough about that. His shitty taste. But I did love, back to Chuck Todd, Chuck Todd was having none of her shit today. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting the feeling as Trump further distances himself from the media, because he's trying his damnedest to make...
Piss everybody off.
He's trying to fix... I mean, it's fascism. It's completely... This is by the book that all the news now is only going to get out through this... through organizations that I approve. There was something that was posted also. Did you guys see? So on his Facebook page, he's got a background picture of the inauguration, but it's Barack Obama's inauguration.
Yeah, the photo. Yeah,
the one that's full of people.
Yeah, it's packed, and it's not even his.
Because it's flag. It's sort of a blurry, distant picture of flag waving, so you don't really see any faces. It's just
you see a crowd.
A crowd and arms overhead.
Oh my God!
Stole it from Barack Obama's inauguration.
They sliced a cake. I really missed the story. I just saw that, but the cake was also
identical to Barack's 2009.
Now I think that might have been somebody doing that. Like against him, because I was reading because the cake guy, he used to be hot. I don't know, you know what I'm talking about. Used to have the cake. He was talking about it. And he said, you know, it's the same people that made it last year, so they would know. They're saying he requested it, so I don't know. We'll see what comes out once his feelings are hurt.
Here's
about
all
it.
The things that are. You mean coming
they were they plagiarized the cake?
Well, they're saying that what I read, and I don't know that this is true. What the cake people are saying. Is that he had requested it to be exactly...
That's what I'm saying. That Trump willingly plagiarized the cake. But he was looking forward
I'm
to
sure that story is going to change.
Wait, but there, I'm sorry, go ahead.
There are stories everywhere about everything, but here's one that I wonder if any of you heard, is if you saw all the people that were... They said the protesters are breaking down the front of a Starbucks and all these,
that.
And they showed all these obviously young people that had their faces covered... And that they said, they supposedly, and again, you read all kinds of stuff, so who knows what to believe, but I know that all of us would love to believe this is true, and I would like to say it's true. They said that they arrested four of the people that were crashing into all of these businesses, and they were all Trump supporters that were just doing it to to make the protesters look bad. And if you go back and look at some of the video, and there are several people that have it up... Okay, none of them are of color.
My God. I mean, it's
all
so...
of them are extremely young and just look like they're out there to be rebellious.
And there's no name tag that says, you know, my name is this and I voted for Trump.
Yeah.
You can literally say whatever you want. But I will add that as part of those protests, what I saw coming from fake news sites where I have mutual friends who keep, for some reason, keep their moronic mouth breather friends around, where I dump them. And they posted a link from ilovemyfreedom.com.
Sure.
So we know it's a very truthful site.
And the reputable.
Reputable site. And the headline is like, you know, something about, in quotes, liberal, peaceful liberals, huh? And it's a picture of a stretch limousine, a very nice black stretch limousine, and it's on fire and the window smashed out and it says, not my president, spray painted in gold. And there is a giant A for anarchy, circled for anarchy, and they label it as liberals. And I'm like, no, liberal. Don't you forget we're all liberals are a bunch of pussy hugging or pussy tree huggers. We're not.
Make love, not war.
We'd rather hug the pussy than grab the pussy.
Pussy hugging.
I would.
How would you hug a pussy?
I'll show you. Huh. I'll show you.
Ask Christine. She knows.
I do.
You can practice on me.
Drop your pants.
But yeah, Kathy,
you keep that kitty tied up.
Back to what Christine was saying, is like whether it's a false flag, whether they are actually Trump voters, it's all irrelevant at this point. Blaming four people for smashing a Starbucks does not represent the million women that marched in this country.
None of
yesterday.
Them were women, by the way. I think there was one that you could tell probably was a very young lady. And again, no one of color... of like any color other than really, really, really white. So
fuck those white people.
I felt so bad for Ben Carson when Jennifer Holliday had to back out because it was like, oh, now Ben's the only black person.
I have seen I didn't watch the inauguration, but I saw.
Did he perform? Did he?
Did Ben Carson perform?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Oh, please tell me he didn't perform.
No.
I heard that there was a consideration. Well, okay. And again, things you read.
Something I saw that we were talking about all of this, there's a lot of plagiarism we've seen. In fact, his speech, did you guys see all the side-by-side? Was any of that true?
No, none of it.
My favorite, though, was there was Melania Trump had gifted to First Lady Michelle Obama something from Tiffany's beautiful little blue box in Tiffany's. And the caption read that it was Melania giving, she was giving her speech back to Michelle Obama. It's like, here's your.
Gold plated, right? Gold plated, giving it back, gold plated.
Oh my gosh, how funny that everybody changes things. I had that same thing with the picture of her with a blue box. Leaning in to hug her, and then the picture next to that was the box opened with a little sign that just said, help me.
Help me, yeah.
But, oh my God, Michelle Obama, who I love.
Yes.
But she was fresh out of funks to give that day. Every time they cut to her, she's looking at
rolling her eyes.
She's looking back like, she's looking at America going, can you believe this shit? Look at what you've done. Mm-hmm. And you know she and Barack have to feel like, guys, we did a really fucking great job.
No, and in all seriousness, though, think about how hard they did work to get us in a much better position than what we were before. And see, this is coming in. Every one of her looks, I was like, I can imagine you must feel pretty fucking shitty as hard as you work to get it so good.
Well, apparently, you know, it's I guess, tradition for the outgoing president to leave a note in the desk.
In the resolute desk, yes.
And I read one from George W. Bush to, was it Bill Clinton?
H.W.
Bush to Bill Clinton. It was great. Like, it was a very, it was almost fatherly. Mm. But it was, regardless of what you think of his policies, it was a president who had sat there for 4 years and said, here's what to look forward to, pay attention, have fun with this, don't forget to breathe, that sort of thing.
Right.
So today, during his press conference, Donald Trump mentioned that he had in his hand the letter that Obama had left him, and said it was. He said it was very nice, very sweet letter. Well, but I'm not going to let. I mean, nobody's going to read it. And he put it away. Now I know the content of that letter. I feel like I know the content of that letter. The reason I feel like I do is because when Barack Obama gave his final speech, that great, awesome final speech. When the moment he mentioned Trump, the audience started booing. And like a father, he turned back to America and said, no. No. This is how this works. Don't do that. You're not, support this guy whether you like it or not. He's your president. There was this idea about him running another attorney, that sort of thing. He was like, this is how this works. And every time that I've seen the conversation go there, he's the very first person to nip it in the bud. So I feel 100% and you saw how he behaved during the transition. Mm-hmm. I believe in my heart that letter was filled with some great advice. I would love to read it. I bet there's something, I bet it was filled with compliments, with niceties. Mm-hmm. Because he was a fucking nice guy. A really nice guy. I'm going to miss having a president who's...
And you realize why Trump will never show that.
No,
because he will.
Of course he will. It's not going to be the real one.
Well, no, yeah, but exactly. But of course he will.
But imagine, the thing that broke my heart the most about this election was that first day that after the election that they're sitting in the Oval Office and there's that look of pure terror on Donald Trump's face, like, what have I gotten into? There is the President of the United States, the most powerful man in the civilized free world, who has been bullied and taken for a ride by this asshole sitting next to
him. The one guy who got the most traction in the entire planet against him.
And every time I saw him shaking his hand or something, I thought, I would think, oh God. It made me feel sick. It made me feel sick. It was literally somebody posted on This week feels like The Omen. It feels like a scene from the end of The Omen, like where you're realizing the devil's about to come to power.
It would be like if I don't know, you were at your job and there was some other employee that you had this altercation with, but the other employee was the asshole.
Her name's Lily.
The other employee was the asshole in the matter, and the minute you start to fight back, then it gets blown out of proportion, and you have to say you're sorry to the person who created all this, you know, drama.
Well, like I said, in all this, Barack Obama has been just stellar, which is why it was so fucking refreshing to see Michelle Obama rolling her eyes,
and
sucking her teeth, because somebody had to. She was letting everybody know, like, we know what's up.
Absolutely.
Now they're off in Palm Springs.
Are they in Palm Springs?
They're
really?
Straight
That's
to Palm
are?
Springs, where I think they're having flooding.
Palm Springs, California?
Yep.
Is that on their way back to Hawaii? Aren't they going back to
Hawaii?
Hawaii.
I do know they were stopping in Palm Springs.
Okay. Wow.
A little vacation. But, you know, think about that for a second. Now, I know I've been critical of Barack Obama because...
You've been an asshole to him.
I'm sick of war. And he did not make things better as far as war. He was hawkish. He was hawkish, and he lied about it. And kids died because of it. I voted for him to bring an end to the wars, and it never happened. I voted for him to bring an end to Guantanamo Bay. It never happened.
First president to serve two full
his
terms.
The entirety of his terms at war. And then he started a few military entanglements on top of that. So that was disappointing for me.
Right after he won the Nobel Prize.
Well, while accepting it, that pissed me off. Having said that, after 8 years of Ford fucking Bush... And 8 years of Bill Clinton, who I enjoyed, but that's all we heard was scandal after scandal after scandal. And then before that, you know, what I was dealing with my growing up during the Reagan administration, which was a fucking debacle. So, in my lifetime, like the first president I remember was Jimmy Carter. And I just remember Jimmy Carter being a nice guy. Kind of goofy. Then... as Reagan came in, I felt like, well, he's the Antichrist. And the Bushes, it was like, oh, we're just going to continue with this. Bill Clinton was about as close to the American people as we got. Then along comes the black guy. And how much do I love, I was telling Ricardo this, how much do I love that the coolest, most tech-savvy, most interview-ready, like the most comfortable, everybody in America felt like, I want to have a drink with that guy. Or the first lady. But then add to that that he's the first black president. And not just the first black president, the first black first lady. And the first black president's daughters. So when she made that comment about waking up every day in a house that was built by slaves and now it's come full circle, that was so beautiful. That was so spot on because none of us are African American. We can only imagine what it's like after your ancestors being enslaved here to finally hold the highest office of the land. What that must be like for those daughters who were also fucking fantastic. Like, they were great. There was just no bullshit. There was no sex. There was no drugs. The girls, I think the worst I ever saw was somebody complaining about the length of one of the girls' skirts.
And dancing.
Oh, yeah, and they danced.
Wasn't there supposedly a cigarette rumor last summer?
It seems like in the very beginning that they kept trying to throw something at this family and the family just wasn't having it. We had a great first lady. You know, they always give them some bullshit initiative. I'm going to take up school lunches or just say no, that sort of thing. But she did it.
Mm-hmm.
She was very vocal about it and being fit. And she was fit. However, there was a hashtag that came out on Twitter for a while that was hashtag thanks Michelle Obama, and high school students were taking pictures of their awful hideous school lunches and tagging her and saying, yes, thank you, here's what you've done. I've got ketchup as a vegetable, like a side of ketchup. What, do you have any fries or something? Nope, that's just my vegetable. big spoonful of ketchup. Some of these school lunches. I ate school lunch. I never bagged lunch. We always ate at school, and the school lunches were food. No, they weren't great. It was
institutional.
It was food. It was institutional food. But some of the shit that they're—I don't know what they're feeding it. But see, Patrick, one of our listeners had said this week that somebody was cooking in the break room and it smelled like barbecue raccoon asshole. I'm telling you, barbecued raccoon asshole. All right, so we have to come back and slander on some of this fashion. There's a lot to talk about there, and about Caitlyn Jenner. But chat about, don't let me forget about Caitlyn. But you want to go ahead and cut to break?
Yep, so who are we hearing, Jay?
Well, all of this talk about day one stuff and all of the alternate facts seems pretty representative of the song I picked. It's from the 80s. It's by Thompson Twins. It's called Lies. Mm.
Snapped in two, words are made to bend. Bigger, better, some stolen from Japan. Collected from around the world, catch you if they can. Lies, 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 yeah. Lies, 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 yeah. Lies, lies. On your mind. Well, Cleopatra died for Egypt. What a waste of time. The white ones, the red ones, and some you can't disguise. Twist the truth and half the news. Can't hide it in your eyes.
Back in the U.S., back in the U.S.
the USSR. Well, the delivery girls really knocked me out.
And that's why that buttons are on the different side of the shirt for women. I don't want to keep trying it. It's just not as funny as Carol.
That story's great. You tell great stories.
Thanks.
Carolee.
So we had to play a second song to hear that great story?
Yes. Oh, it was funny.
What was that second song?
That second song, in case those people who have never heard it don't know, is the Beatles, Back in the USSR.
They don't know that. Shame on them.
I don't want you to ever get the feeling that it's okay to play the Beatles on my show. I'm just kidding. I don't like the Beatles. All right, let me pull my notes back up. So let's talk about, there are some major things we have to discuss. But I do want to get to some of the trivial shit. Let's talk about what everybody was wearing. So, Melania, seemed like the gays were just going nuts on my feed. Like, love her or hate her, the bitch looks fabulous. And I thought, no, she looks like she shoplifted that from Jackie Kennedy.
Are you talking about the white outfit?
The powder blue turtleneck coat.
Oh, that one. Can I ask for you, the white one that was the top?
That was her ball gown.
Okay, thank you. Did it have like a panel
that
went
it.
Across the breast, like you could place a cup on it?
Feel like it might have been like an accordion pleat or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I only watched intermittently.
No, let's talk about Melania Trump for a moment. She is our first lady. She is Slovenian, and she's a whore. I don't mind saying that. She's a dirty old whore.
You know what that dress, by the way? Horsetail.
What?
Oh, you're kidding me.
That's what it looks like.
It's called horsetail, or it is horsetail?
There's a
what?
Trim.
No, it's not made out of horsetail.
Okay, well, you know, I don't know. Fashion,
no,
I'm a lesbian.
Okay.
That's so bizarre. Well, she generally looks great. Her costume choice, like, her look is often costumey, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the Republican National Convention, she's got this, she's in white, and then she's got that weird bell, like a wizard's sleeve. So it's, everything's just she's a whore.
Don't forget the pussy bow. Her pussy bow, yeah.
I want to, yeah, because, yes, her big pussy bow. I would like to say, first of all, I have friends who are prostitutes. I have friends who like to be called escorts. Some say masseuses. Others say I'm just a good old whore.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who are sex workers, mm-hmm. and that's traditionally now what you're supposed to call them, because it's not nice to say other things. But she's a whore. Like, she's a dirty old whore. I think that applies to her. Is she pretty? At angles. And I'm sure at one time before she went full kabuki with her eyes, mm-hmm. that, and she complains that she
Why don't
was,
you ask me?
Well, why?
When she, well, I was just saying, when she was younger, before she did all of that right. plastic surgery, she looked like just a typical Eastern European woman.
But, in but, her younger days when they called her Delta Dawn?
when they twisted her, when they twisted the screws on the sides to tighten up her eyeballs and pull in those cheekbones, she looks like a Stepford wife.
Oh yeah, she was. I'm just looking at it. She looks very normal.
Very normal. Yeah. Just very Eastern.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
I mean,
she needed no plastic surgery.
Now her look now is specific, but let's not get around about it. It's still. Now, like Hollywood's idea of pretty.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Well, which is this very sculpted, very jacked up.
But she's got that real squinty eye, and I think that's because...
It's too tight.
Well, no, I mean, if you had to look at his fucking naked, fucking big red ass, I'd be squinting my eyes too. She's got to see him naked.
Yeah, so she's tightening it up so she doesn't feel the vision.
No,
you're
that's assuming, that's gotta get you're on assuming her. That she sees him naked. You assume that she sees him naked now. She maybe did
at one
the
time.
Beginning, and then just said, please, shut the
just
lights off.
No, right. No. Life,
after
though.
Watching him sort of snap his fingers at her, that sort of, now speak, wench, I get the feeling that while she's whore, like, she's getting paid. So in some ways, I kind of look at the bitch as an accomplice in some ways, because she has defended him in times that he didn't deserve it. But I also feel like maybe that giant turtleneck jacket was hiding bruises, or... I get she's the first person I thought of their first night in the White House. I went, oh, she's got to give it to him tonight. And you know, she's standing at the inauguration like, oh, fuck, I have to do it again.
I have to pee on him again.
But you know what? She probably doesn't.
I need to pee, but he will not let me.
She probably doesn't. There's probably several people now to service him and That's several people to service
probably.
Her. And they go to their respective places. You know what? I could... only throw up and hope that they do get together, but I don't
well,
think
I
they
do. Well, I
do
remember when Pussygate happened, he was vocal about, explain what that was about. It was before I knew my wife. She was pissed. She was angry. So
well, she said she was angry.
There's other whores, and honey, I'm sorry, when a rooster's that ridiculous, you're going to have a few pins.
You know what? Left turn. Have you seen House of Cards?
I haven't.
House of Cards, do try to watch it because it does take us everywhere that you kind of went, wow, I bet that actually happens. And they're really sassy about it. When he moves up to the position of being that,
it
you would love it. And then you sit there and say, yep. And me watching it put me to the point of saying, no, I wouldn't be surprised if the night that, you know, well, last night or tonight or whatever, that they both went to separate rooms because in House of Cards, they have their separate wings, which is true. Mm-hmm. The president and the first lady have separate wings.
I didn't know that.
No, I don't, yeah, I don't gather that he's much of a spooner.
No, all that tanning comes off quickly.
You imagine what their sheets look
sheets
like.
Get changed and burned every night.
Well, has there been any decision on what's happening as far as his... residency? Like, is he still going to this 4-day week and then go back?
When we get to week one, we'll find out what happens
tomorrow,
next Friday.
And tomorrow we'll find out more too, because he was supposed to try to leave for this weekend and then come back tomorrow. That's what he was
Kelly
saying.
Kellyanne Conway was dressed like the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. Like, she looked like she was part of the Rhythm Nation but it was very juvenile.
Somebody said she looked like someone that would open the door for you at F.A.O. Schwarz. that was to me, I went,
Paddington Bear is what I saw.
Her dresser, that was sabotage.
And yes. Also, things that they said, now, you know, she doesn't know any gay men anymore.
No,
like, she's lost all of her gay friends.
Apparently.
I think she had a gay did that to her.
A gay Republican?
Was like, nope, trust me, this is going to look great. Everybody's going to love it. Everyone will be talking about it. And that's what happened. And, of course, she's walking around and he's like, girl, look at that bitch.
I mean, are we to believe that was, I feel like... all of this is so much sleight of hand. Just all of it. If we're distracted by her
what do you call it? That cookie just kicked in.
The alternate facts
is distraction from Trump taking vacation right after he takes office, and her showing up in a dress that looks... he did get right to work.
In fact, he was at work today, so he didn't hold it. That's something he lied.
Oh, did he go to work?
He had press conferences this morning.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I'm just.
And I imagine it was a late night because he had those three balls. Did you guys see the dance between him and
Yes.
Oh my god.
And the kiss, that really awkward, like, you know how his kids always recoil? Because you get the feeling the dad's kissed him with tongue or something. They're all like, ah! You could see her instinctively flinch. Like, oh no, I have to do this, don't I? As they danced to I Did It My Way.
I had yet to, in all of this, sort of take into account that, yes, Trump is 7 years old. He's the oldest man to ever take the office. But I forgot to take into account when you see the wife with the pulled back face and then you look at his daughter who's not had any work done yet.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, they look like they're the same age. And yeah. I found out melanoma is only 10 years older than Ivanka.
Mm. Yeah, that's about
She's 46 and Ivanka's 36.
She's only 46.
Oh, just thinking.
And having so balls. Much work done makes her look worse. And of course, living the life that she... Now, how old is Kelly Mann?
Oh, she's got to be 35.
Oh, 32. So she's 22.
I'm pretty sure she sat on the rock with Moses.
No, I mean, she looks it, but she's probably like 32.
Now you know yeah, she's probably... I'm,
wait, maybe one
I'm
of the listeners knows.
You try working with this dick. I was an intern.
I was the only one that could survive the sucky
martini cigarette.
Wait, Diva Jenna will know. How old is Kelly Mann? And if you want to see something fun, did you see the Saturday Night Live?
Yes. I missed Saturday Night Live.
I love that.
It was fabulous. I love that she looks like my wife. And I love that she does the Russian character. And the Russian character in the Saturday Night Live skit, the name of the woman that comes up and plays the woman next
is
to...
Is Alia.
And my wife was like, oh, it was after me. I said, that's right.
So, all right, this will tell you... This, again, this will... again. Reinforce my straight card, I should say. I watched that, and the whole time I was like, I mean, they just cut from an interview to a musical. I don't understand any of this is supposed to signify. But apparently it was referenced to...
Chicago.
See, I've never seen Chicago. I have no idea.
Just kidding. She's 50, by the way. A very hard...
What?
Ooh,
what?
Really, yeah. Red and hot, put up with it.
Yeah.
She's 50?
I'm 6 years older than her, and I look better.
Girl,
than
you don't have a wrinkle,
Rosalie. Your mama talks about seven times in bitch years.
Well, let's put it, we have seen her pancaked with makeup, and you can't get away from the bags and the
traditionally
craters.
Sith lords, when the evil gets to them, so it's drawn from their force, they get weathered. Yeah, she's like a barnacle. She is a little barnacle.
Honestly, that's unreal that she is 50 years old.
Michael, she is only 4 years older than us.
Wow.
Yeah, let that sink in.
She looks like, I mean, it's haggard is the only word. Every time I see her, and I remember when we first were getting news of her as being Trump's campaign manager, because I wasn't paying attention when she was Ted Cruz's flunky. Which, by Full of Grace, by the way, Full of Grace fans, you should check that out online when we post that on the wall, where she's being interviewed while she's still in Cruz's corner talking about what a scumbag Trump is.
I know.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's all a circus. It's all show
but
business.
But have you seen anyone, and why doesn't anyone, just sit down with her and say, hi, thank you so much for this interview. I'm going to show you this clip and just let me know what the deal is. And they play the clip where she says everything horrible about Trump, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 different things,
yes.
And then say, I will let you talk. And then just shut up and let her talk.
Well, let me address that. It doesn't matter with her specifically because Trump sort of set up this new precedent that...
Spell it, please.
You just have to take me at my word, and this whole bit where we're saying facts don't matter anymore. They are behaving like they're campaigning.
Yes.
He's still talking to a crowd like he's campaigning. This sort of talk, when they ask Ryan Priebus, that always so smarmy. They'll ask him a legitimate question about policy or whatnot. He'll sneak out of it, deflect. Or it'll be like, well, Hillary Clinton, da-da-da. It's like, no. She's not part of this equation anymore. You won. There is no she did it. You can't point any longer at each other and say he did it first. This is about you now. And that's what I was asking at the top of the show was, how long can they keep this up? He kept saying, please just answer my question.
Chuck Todd, yeah.
And she's like, just deflect. Just talk in circles.
So how long do you think they're going to
At some point, if they have any intention on truly staying credible, because even deaf and blind people are watching this going, oh, they're so full of shit. Eventually, when that becomes the cultural vernacular, and that's America at this point, like they were with Reagan or whatever, saying, well, no, that's you're an idiot. What's he going to do? Cancel Saturday Night Live? Like, he's cutting the news networks or the news sources that he'll allow. So he says no to CNN and then takes a question from Breitbart.
So is the end... I mean, obviously, we talk about fascism, and we mentioned... a year ago, or six, you know, at least 7 or 8 months ago, about the fascist ways and all of the, and it, he's running a parallel game to what Hitler did.
Yeah.
And while
and
he may not...
to us exactly the same way as the Germans.
His end game may not be to slaughter all the Muslims in America, like Hitler wanted to do with the Jews, but... You were asking, you sort of led into this question, which I would say to you, my presumption is that the Chuck Todds, the George Stephanopoulos, all of these, you know, one-on-one interviewers that are trying to get real information.
Well, they must be just shaking in their boots.
Well, I say to you that they will get to a point where they refuse to even waste their time engaging the Kellyannes, the Sean Spicers, the Reince Priebuses.
But therein lies the rub. When that happens, they have effectively done what they're trying to do.
Yes, which is
to
I get agree.
Only one side of the story. And without people like Stephanopoulos or Chuck Todd or whoever asking these questions, you just give full permission for them. Like, that's what they're saying now is, like, facts don't matter because you don't matter. Like, in the long run, like, they got what they want.
That we're in charge. Yeah.
No. That's how it's always been, though. That's how it's always been. So, it's going to be a hard fucking year for us. And I don't like to find glee in this, but it's going to be a hard fucking 4 years for the Republicans, too.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel a little better. Also making me feel better, women.
Yes.
Right?
I have been, you guys know, I've just been a fucking mess since this election. It's really, really taken a lot out of me emotionally and mentally. And just when I'm literally looking at this, swearing in and crying at it, because I can't believe that we have disintegrated this, the next day, women say, "Hi guys, as usual, we're going to step in and clean up your mess." It was unheard of. Oh, almost 3 million people. Almost 3 million people. Let's see, it says...
Over 600...
The Women's March in Washington had 3 times more people than Trump's inauguration.
Yep.
So probably about 1.5 million women.
I mean, that's just fucking nuts. 2 million protesters, 2 to 3 million protesters worldwide on every continent in the world, including Antarctica.
Yeah.
These are women's marches.
Over 600 events worldwide.
The whole world was... They're saying that this is the largest political movement in over half a century.
Yeah.
This is, you know, not since the 60s. And even then...
You didn't have that kind of organizing power.
No. And it's one thing if that's happening against war, for instance. But when women worldwide are now saying, we're sick of your shit, we want our, you know, we have a voice, I love it.
And in the 60s, there was a lot of drugs involved and a lot of things. And that's funny as it is, but it is true. There was a more rebellious aspect that was like freedom and rebellious, not towards a particular situation that was happening. My wife and I went down to the one here in Orlando, and there were like, you know, just so many women, but there were a lot of men there too. And that was probably the thing that...
Because we're feminists too.
Exactly.
Feminists in general.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It felt like Barack Obama was a feminist president, like a solidly feminist president.
And it annoys the shit out of me that we have to even say I'm feminist. That you even have to define...
Defend. You're having to defend yourself.
Or defend myself.
But I'm saying, though, any man that wants to say, I'm with you, I'm a feminist too...
I appreciate the definition and saying it to people, but the fact that it's 2017 and that we have to even have a word for, hey, let's treat women like we treat men.
Well, having three women here, I just want to say...
You have to say or you want to say?
I have to say.
Well.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, Jay, wait.
Oh, here we go. I have to say, you guys, you ladies, I'm sorry, you ladies.
You ladies.
Thank you.
When I look at all the achievements you guys gave us yesterday, I think it's just adorable.
Oh, good.
Aww, thank you.
I think
it's
so
just
cute
that you guys found something to do to feel important.
Can I just say...
Do you have to say?
She has to
say. Oh, we are going to get drunk tonight. Woo!
By the way, if you're listening, anytime somebody on the show says, I have to say, which is a lot, because everyone apparently has a lot to say, you have to do a shot. Yeah.
One for the... proof of what can happen when you have female leaders and female organization in the world. That was in what? How many? A short span of time. Everybody in the world jumped on.
I thought that too.
What everyone in the world. Yeah. So props in that manner.
That's nuts that there was
a... How did they get people in Antarctica?
In coats, probably.
Well, just the fact, you
Paddington
know,
Bear coats.
There's our social
all
media.
The rage this year.
Yeah, there's our social media. Social media comes in to play in a really good way. The fact that people can keep in touch through social media, where before, could you imagine anybody that was in Antarctica or in a country at the top or bottom of the world, they would get the message 6-7 months later, be like, oh, okay, let's go outside and light a candle.
So do we know how quickly this organized and came to fruition? Was it within a month or...
I believe it had to have been a short amount of time. I can't imagine it being long amounts of time for the entire world to join in. I mean, what really is your time frame for that? But also, it used to... Where I grew up, super sarcastic, sort of dark humor. So we used to have this saying, I guess you'd call it a saying, but it was like, oh, you want to hear something funny? And the other person goes, what? Then you go, women's rights.
Yes.
And then everybody cracks up. So I think it's funny how it used to be a joke, but no, it's serious. Women's rights, you know, there's a lot of topics to cover within that as far as...
Well, that was...
Fairness of payments and how we're looked at.
Your bodies, abortion.
Yeah, and just everything.
Birth control. There's a zillion... things under
there's
that,
a topic. Yeah, it's a wide topic to cover.
The thing that you have to think about now, originally, well, let me put it this way. This is not just housewives and secretaries like it was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
This is doctors, lawyers, senators, prime ministers. Women are here, and we're established, and we're not giving it up.
There have never, in history, there have never been more females in the workforce.
Right.
Right.
And with that has come, like, we've all seen sexism at work. Like, we know how it works. And every place I've worked, I've seen it. It's only once ever been in my favor. But I'm completely familiar with it. When women... who are often carrying the weight of their job at work as well, y'all are getting pissed. Like, I see women going, wait, that's...
Well, there's some women that are that have been pissed. And one of the signs I took a picture of, Kathy, you know what I'm talking about, at yesterday's rally here, there's a picture, I took a picture of a woman holding a sign, and it said, I'm sick and tired of holding this sign since 1960. Yeah. It's like, yeah. And I talked to a few women there that were in their 70s, and or a couple that I think were late 70s. With their little pussy hats
that was
on.
That was Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I just think it's adorable you guys got together and had a little play.
With our little woman brains.
Yeah. With your little women. I mean, you know,
did
see,
it all
did, you, did all 2 million of you cycle up?
We synced up just before, and then we threw our tampons.
I was just...
Except for those of us who were going through the mental pause, oh, we just God. Waved at you girls.
You know what I just thought of?
I was just remembering at work, Kathy had brought in a newspaper article that was talking about the ridiculousness of mansplaining and yes. how women feel when a guy mansplains something to them. She hung it up on the end of the rack. It's been under this little sign that says, like, no place like home or something like that. Home sweet home. And it hangs up there for months, and then HR sees it and goes, no, that can't be there, and takes it down. We're like, of course not. Of course the man's going to say, no, this is inappropriate. It's like, nobody cares. You didn't even know it's been there for months, and he didn't care. Well, thank you, ladies, because women around the world have restored my faith in humanity completely.
Amen.
Like, I feel like this almost feels like it could work for our benefit in the long run that he's president.
It's, I mean, you know, wake some motherfuckers.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, because people are, I mean, that's a very quick time to put that many fucking people together.
Day one.
To organize that many people. It's like, yeah. Bam. But they did it. Their flights were filled, buses were filled with women. It was like Selma.
Mm-hmm. No,
like,
yeah.
Well, that's a, but Selma yeah. all over the world.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, yeah, America's. One... America's. I don't know how hushed we're going to be because they're already starting to enact some legislations that are going to encroach on your freedom to assemble
mm-hmm.
and protest. They're already talking about taking some of those rights away. So that's how it happens. And it's V for Vendetta. Eventually you're just going to see an army of people, which was what the Constitution said we're supposed to do. If the government ever gets out of hand, it's our job as citizens to rise up and overthrow them and say, no, 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 this is going to be for all of us.
Well, wait, when was that written?
Thursday?
Oh, okay. Yeah, things can't change in that much amount of time. No, you can't change things. We still respect that and look to that, and that is that old. Mm-hmm. Take a look at what's happening now and what has not changed at all, mm-hmm. which should change. So.
Well, it was fantastic news. Now, let me see, do you want to speak with Christopher? Because he attended, I think, in D.C.
Oh, he was in D.C.?
I believe so.
All right.
Let me send his number.
Send it to me.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like we need Man from Anthony. I'm playing.
Man from Ipanema.
Yeah, that's it.
It's my favorite song in the whole wide world.
It's catchy.
Girl from Ipanema. Girl from Ipanema is my favorite song.
I have heard at some point Lady Bunny had written a parody to it about a girl who smokes cigarettes, and I just remember that
emphysema.
Here she comes from emphysema. The last line was, when she passes gas, she says. Michael, I'm doing my best to get this to you. It sounds like there's quite a storm outside.
While you're doing it, oh, it does. While you're doing that, I was just thinking, what a wonderful time for the movie Wonder Woman to finally be made.
Yes.
Right now is the perfect,
yeah.
that movie,
perfect year.
That's perfect, perfect.
Bring the original back and have it be something that people watch on Netflix. You have to buy to get the whole thing.
I guarantee you, someone's going to do that.
Oh, freaking hoop.
They always do that when they reboot movies or TV shows with movies. you'll start seeing it again.
I saw it on Christmas Day. I was flipping through in North Carolina. Wonder Woman was on. It was a Christmas episode of Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
From the original?
Oh, yeah. It was
shut
awful.
Up.
It was just awful.
I have all the seasons.
It's Linda Carter. Shut your pie hole.
I know. I love her.
Me too.
So we're going to give Christopher a call. Christopher, just turn your radio down, though. Because there will be lots of
feedback. It's Christopher from our chat room, Christopher Bishop, who I've known forever.
Please enjoy this Verizon Ringback tone while your party is sweet.
Oh, very fancy.
Hey, this is Chris.
Hi, Christopher Bishop.
Yay!
Hey, how you doing?
It's been a hot minute since when last we spoke.
It has. It's been a long time.
Years.
Where do you live?
I live in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Okay.
Tennessee.
Are you still there?
We just drove home from D.C. today, so we just met here. Yeah.
Well, so what was the experience for you?
Wow, we had no idea that what happened was going to happen. We kept hitting walls of impassable people, seas of people. We couldn't get anywhere near the Capitol. We couldn't get anywhere near the White House. And within all of these seas of people were just these rivers of marchers going through the mall, but also back into the city, into... in overpasses, underpasses, we basically shut down everywhere we could find. There was that many people.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Did it feel highly organized, or did it feel like everybody was by the seat of their pants?
Well, it seemed as though, if I understand correctly, they were so overwhelmed that they gave up on the official march, and there was really no organization. It was a taking to the streets more than a protest.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well,
I apologize for my voice. I've barely held on to it. Chanting and screaming and just having an amazing time really took a toll out on my voice.
What do we want? A secrets. When do we want it?
Now.
Well, thanks for, I mean, it's...
We want a leader, not a creepy tweeter, was my favorite.
Very funny.
That's great. Well, I'm guessing a sea of pink?
Sorry?
Did I understand that the march was very pink?
It was very pink, and that, I get that it started out as this women's march, but... what it turned into was so much more and such a bigger picture. There was Black Lives Matter there. There was gay people there. There was people of color there, Mexicans, Hispanics, the people that are afraid of the deportations that are getting ready to happen. Everybody just came forth from every walk of life just to show themselves as a part of the people who are not going to put up with craziness, with unlawfulness.
Yeah, that makes me so happy. I was just saying on the show, it has restored my faith in humanity when I was just fresh out. Cha-cha?
Can I just say, as a Hispanic queer female, thank you for going out and participating in that on behalf of people such as I who didn't have the opportunity to do the same thing. I'd like to say thank you very much because it really does mean a lot, especially in times like this.
And we got to see this, like,
absolutely.
Close. Go ahead. Go ahead, Christopher.
Absolutely. We were breaking everything. They were running out of little cards for the metro station. It took us 3 hours from the time we parked our car to the time we actually got up onto the streets again. Everywhere you went, it was just people, and the only cars that we saw were like the official vehicles driving around. Everything was closed off.
Did you see many or any women that had their hair covered that, you know, were respecting their religion of
you know, all the different faiths where you have to, you know, wear any kind of coverage?
Any burkas?
It was very natural. Nobody had any problem. Actually, everyone was really super nice. Besides,
yeah, there were no arrests.
No arrests.
Except those stupid people.
That there were a lot of women who were covering their heads and the...
Oh, you're breaking up.
Move around. We can't hear you.
Well, he's had enough of your shit. I guess he told you.
Hold on, Christopher. We can't hear you at all. Let me just try to call you back.
But that's what I wondered. It, you know, because we only look at the immediate. We think women that are black or white or brown or whatever, but any women that have religious tendencies that respect being able to have your hair covered and...
I love that you have your own background music.
Yeah. Hello.
There we go.
Hey, sorry about that, sweetheart.
Hey, is that better?
Yes.
No, it may be... we're having a tornado currently here, so... you're doing better. Well, thank you for... Yeah, thank you from all of us for going. I know that's quite a schlep there and back from Johnson City.
It was an amazing experience. I would have had it no other way.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you for letting me let you know what happened.
Yeah. I thank you for being part of it. I love you, sweetheart. And let's catch up soon.
Can we employ you as an unpaid intern to be our East Coast political press rep?
I love it. Yes.
We'll give you credentials. It'll be great.
Right.
You can get screamed Absolutely. Out from Trump that you're fake news.
I'll have someone in HR set up your direct deposit. All right. Well, I love you. I'll let you go. Take care of yourself, sweetheart, and I will be in touch with you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye. Thank you. Yay.
I love him.
That's the first time I've ever heard his voice.
I've known him since... We used to club together. He used to be a friend of mine. And
what does that mean?
Club?
A club, yeah.
Party dance.
I almost used the word rave. How old am I? I went to a rave. But everyone called him Ducky because he had his smile reminded you of a young John Grier. Like he had that. There was an element of that to him.
This is Christopher you're talking about?
Yeah. His nickname was Dougie because he did sort of remind you a little bit of Dougie. Yeah. Anyway, dance his ass off. Like, super sweet guy. But we have been out of touch, except for online, for years. I haven't seen him in probably 20...
Well, he was he was pretty articulate for a black man. We should keep him.
He was, yeah. We're saying he's of all my... Oh, no, you didn't know. No, he's in the witness protection.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not black. Well, anyway, so there's that. And then there's Maud.
Well, one of the best things for me that's happened in the last couple of days with all of this last week, has been the interview with, not the interview, but the hearing.
Oh, that's right.
With Betsy DeVos.
Oh, good God.
Has anyone seen it? Let me just play you a little clip. It's orgasmic.
She is slated to be, Secretary of Education?
Yes.
Of Education.
And does great stand-up comedy.
Zero qualifications for such a post. Like, it's literally like they were just like, hey, yeah, you can do this, right? And she's like, sure. So she's kind of camera ready in the sense that she looks like she's playing a part of somebody on a congressional hearing. This is how I show you that I am sweet. This is how I stay calm, and the whole thing was very robotic. But they weren't putting up with it. They were basically, Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
Even Marco Rubio suddenly developed a backbone, and they were saying, because let's face it, Republican or Democrat across the board, they know that a lot of these people being appointed they're cashing in favors with a businessman. So you can't have somebody as the head of the Department of Education who knows nothing about it.
And she's a billionaire.
Her own children had never gone through...
A billionaire, yeah. Correct?
She's
a
millionaire.
No, she's a billionaire.
I thought she was a millionaire. No, she's a billionaire.
Well, her father is a billionaire.
Which she comes from money.
She's a 100 millionaire and waiting for daddy to die, kind of like Trump. You know,
yeah.
And the thing
Trump
is,
had 40 million, and then his dad
much,
died.
Does anybody know how much she will get paid in the position of being Secretary of Education?
Oh, it's only a couple $100,000 a year.
Yeah, it's
along
really
with.
But here's how it works. Here's exactly how it works. Betsy DeVos owns a company that buys bad student loan debt for pennies on the dollar. So they collect on those who default on their student loans. Mm-hmm. You can file for bankruptcy, but that loan follows you till death. And so this is like literally a, it's like ownership of a human body. As long as that human body is producing money, you will get a cut. And if you gut public schools and send a bunch of kids to charter schools where the parents take out small loans when they're in high school to send them to a better charter school than the public school that's around the corner. And then those same students then go off to college and they go, well, you know, the charter school didn't really set them up for college. So they end up going to college for longer, taking out longer loans. And you know people that are smart that took out a 4-year loan, they're still paying in their 40s.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I have a friend who passed away a couple years ago.
And that's how he got out of his student loan.
That's how he got out of his student loan. And his ex-boyfriend said, you have no idea. He wrote on my dead friend's wall, on his Facebook wall, he said, you had no idea how much joy I had this morning when they called to collect, to be able to tell them he's dead. Mm. Like, you would enjoy that. Like, try now.
All right.
I never had to worry with that.
I didn't either. I paid as I went.
My parents saved their whole, like, their lives so that I and my two brothers could go to college. They saved and saved and saved. And I ended up being the only child that actually wanted to go to college. So they
had enough, more than enough.
They were like, you go where you want. Like, and even if they were going to make payments on it, they said, no, if you can get into Harvard, you can get into Juilliard,
NCSA, that's...
I went to North Carolina School of the Arts. I went there for high school and I got familiar with the program, and they're very selective with the college program. So just being there in high school doesn't mean you move on to the college program. I was the only guy from our class, and there were two girls that were... No, I was two guys, and two girls were pulled. The rest is sort of sent on. And where was that going with this?
But with paying for it.
Oh, so it was North Carolina. So we've been paying taxpayer money.
In-state tuition, right.
In-state tuition. So, yeah, tuitions was nothing for me.
When you went, right.
In the 90s. It was the room and board was more than tuition, and that's really all they had to pay for.
Well, I'm a late bloomer. I didn't
have to work. You know what I'm saying? I never had to work during college.
Because you had, Because
you
right.
couldn't do that work. And you know, that's... there were a couple kids who worked in the office, but ours was not a schedule where you would have time for a job.
Right, it was very odd.
All day, all right.
I was a late bloomer. I was actually married by the time I decided to go to college at 24. I graduated at 30, so I was in college for 7 years. But I only took two...
You still didn't realize that math is 6.
no, it's not.
How's that college working
out? No, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000. That's 7 years. Yes, it was 7 years. I literally took two classes a semester.
Sorry, I didn't go to school for 7 years. I mean, that's stupid.
You didn't go to math school like I did. But I was I was married, and so I had a, you know, part-time job 4 nights a week as a server, and... So I was able to pay, and by the way, it was in the 90s before tuition exploded, and so I think I could have probably afforded to take 4 classes. I was just fucking lazy.
Oh my God!
I'm sorry, you went to college in the 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to college in the 90s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Shut up, all of you.
Oh, sorry.
Just saying.
But I didn't graduate until I was 30.
But he was like 40 when he started, so it's okay. all right, so the whole reason we're even discussing this is this mistake.
Well, that's how Betsy DeVos will make her money.
If you got to watch the hearing, everyone was pretty hard on her. Not hard on her, I mean, they were asking her legitimate questions.
He said hard
on her. But Elizabeth Warren just tore her asshole up.
Oh, she's so good at that.
Listen to this.
The Secretary of Education is essentially responsible for managing a $1 trillion student loan bank and distributing $30 billion in Pell Grants to students each year. The financial futures of an entire generation of young people depend on your department getting that right. Now, Mrs. DeVos, do you have any direct experience in running a bank?
Senator, I do not.
Have you ever managed or overseen a $1 trillion loan program?
I have not.
How about a $1 billion loan program?
I have not.
Oh. Okay, so no experience in managing a program like this. How about participating in one? Mrs. DeVos, have you ever taken out a student loan from the federal government to help pay for college?
I have not.
Have any of your children had to borrow money in order to go to college?
They have been fortunate not to.
Uh-huh. Have you had any personal experience with a Pell Grant?
Not personal experience, but certainly friends and students with whom I've worked.
So you have no personal experience with college financial aid or management of higher education. Mrs. DeVos, then let's start with the basics. Do you support protecting federal taxpayer dollars from waste, fraud, and abuse?
I don't know what those words mean.
Oh, good. So
I don't know how she didn't break down in the middle of
this. Okay, please.
But Ella, she's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now we all know that President-elect Trump's experience with higher education was to create a fake university, which resulted in his paying a $25 million to students that he cheated. So I'm curious about how the Trump administration would protect against waste, fraud, and abuse at similar for-profit colleges. So here's my question. How do you plan to protect taxpayer dollars from waste, fraud, and abuse by colleges that take in millions of dollars in federal
student debt? Nope, I don't know what any of that means.
Senator, if confirmed, I will certainly be very vigilant.
Yeah, I'm asking
people.
How? How are you going to do that? You said you're committed.
The individuals with whom I work in the department will ensure that federal monies are used properly and appropriately, and I will look forward to working with you.
So you're going to subcontract making sure that what happened with universities that cheat students doesn't happen anymore?
No, I didn't.
You're going to give that to someone else to do? I just want to know what your ideas are for making sure we don't have problems with waste, fraud, and abuse. Swindlers and crooks are out there doing backflips.
All right, so she tears her an asshole.
Backflips.
But then there's a discussion. There's a discussion of firearms being in schools.
Oh, yeah.
Bears.
And her, yeah, this is literally where you see the cracks in the facade where it's like, oh, now she's getting tired. She's probably a little dehydrated. She's starting to slip. Well, why do you have, what if bears? I need guns.
Bears.
I'm sure
they've got somebody
certainly
there.
Certainly
they've got guns. No, they have to have guns in school.
No.
For bears.
Give grizzlies.
That's what she said. They called the school, and they said
the school said no.
Yeah.
She smoked crack, and then they went back and asked her, and she said, well, what is crack?
This part of the constituency, though, cracks me up, because they're like, yeah, teachers should be allowed to have guns. I remember a few of my teachers should never be anywhere near a fucking firearm.
No.
Elizabeth Warren, gotta love her. Let her go. Let her do that with everybody. Yep. Let her do that with every single person that has to answer for themselves.
Her.
And but where did it end up? Where did this interview end up? Do you have where it?
At the end of that, she ended it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
No, I was curious because I didn't get to see it. I'm extremely excited to hear
properly
this.
Properly and appropriately, and I will look forward to working with
you. So you're going to subcontract making sure that what happened with universities that cheat students doesn't happen anymore.
No, I didn't.
You're going to give that to someone else to do? I just want to know what your ideas are for making sure we don't have problems with waste, fraud, and abuse. Swindlers and crooks are out there doing backflips when they hear an answer like this. If confirmed, you will be the cop on the beat. And if you can't commit to use the tools that are already available to you in the Department of Education, then I don't see how you can be the Secretary of Education.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, it had to be said.
I don't know if that's the end of it. That's the end of the book.
If they would just, if they would all just do the same thing every time they're interviewed, every time there's a debate, there's that level that you get in a congressional hearing, that level of sort of, look, we're not going to pussyfoot around here, I think really needs to expand.
Al Franken also. Did you get a chance, Christine?
Al Franken. Oh, I saw him.
Just time. Did you see his?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I saw him interview
and
her.
She said that, she said something about it, something had increased like 980%. He goes, no, 118%.
Yep.
That's not 980%.
Yep. No, he corrected
her. She said
her.
There was the. She said he said, do you know what the rise in tuition has been over the last decade? And she said, he said, you said it was 1,000%. And she said, no, I said it was 980%. And then, yes, he said, it's 118%. You're in charge of math.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, that was one of the best things to watch.
Well, this is the clap back. You know, when we got a clap back when Obama was elected president, but it was always from the rednecks and the hillbillies and the idiots. And then it was from the Republican Congress. This is what you're seeing now as a clapback. It's a response. And
well, what
I'm
you're
loving it.
What you're saying about the this is what we need in the level that they dig to in congressional hearings.
Right.
Well, this is the issue: is we are now a soundbite country, and therefore, when Kellyanne Conway is on Meet the Press, she gets, you know, 1 12-minute segment or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If we held her feet to the fire for 8 hours, maybe she would crack. Well, we know she wouldn't because her
she has flying buttresses and veneers.
But it's the Trump way of talking now.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to lie, and then it's going to go onto social media, and everybody's going to believe or not believe and prove or disprove, and then a couple of days later, they'll say, no, I didn't mean that. And people will say, well, here's the picture of when you tweeted, yes.
Tweeted. Yes. Nice.
Thank you. I learned something, children. I learned something. I'm the oldest person.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the way of living now. You can lie about stuff, and then a couple days later say, I never did it, and then people will say you did, and then you just fight back and forth.
And then there's
and
another
kind of dwindles.
Issue.
It dwindles.
There's another issue 2 days later, and we forget about the one we
exactly.
had to fight
about. Exactly. It dwindles.
Exactly.
Like
that's what's become of consumer culture. I know this is a completely, that's a different talk altogether, but everything's become so disposable that now so have facts, so have politicians. They're disposable. Well, we've got to kind of wrap this up now, don't we?
Right, but if you're listening live, just keep listening because we're going to our second show, who's going to be calling on the second show?
Varla Jean Merlin. No. No, the wonderful Ann Walker.
Yes, if you're a fan of Sordid Lives, that's Aunt LaVonda.
Well, she was in Sordid Lives. She was also in Father of the Bride.
Oh yeah, she's done.
But I think we all remember her from her work on Soul Man.
Right, you gotta ask her about that.
Yeah,
Thomas Howell.
Oh, I
epic.
Can't. Yeah. I don't even want to remind her that she was in a film with somebody in blackface.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, was.
C. Thomas Howell in blackface.
Oh, but anyway, yeah. So stick around and listen to her because she has her own podcast, which is fantastic, and she has a lot to say, and she's really good at it, too. She's highly entertaining.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Sharp as a fucking
If you
tap.
Are not listening live, and this is on Podomatic, just go to the next show. It'll be the next January.
Second Coming.
All right, that's it then, right?
All right, well, thanks a bunch, everybody. See you in a second.
slash and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive centering. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, watch your heel crush, crush. Uh-oh, this means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear, a tournament, a tournament, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine. I feel Stein, Leonid, Brezhnev, Lenny, Bush, and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, button, nap, right? It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.